Now, you're going to see the word salvation and rejoicing this morning several times. So let's build a foundation. Psalms 118, verses 14 through 15. The Lord is my strength and my song, and is become my salvation. The Lord is our salvation. Verse 15. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Now notice with me, the voice of rejoicing and salvation is in our house. It's where we dwell. There should be a sound of rejoicing coming out of the homes of the righteous. There should be a joyful sound of rejoicing coming out of your lips all day long. Amen?
Amen.
Not the voice of complaining. Not the voice of fear, and not the voice of sadness. You see, there's supposed to be that sound coming out of our lives. Wherever we are, in our car, in the kitchen, in our pajamas, wherever we are, we should be making that sound. And you know something? This will make you stand out. Because how many of you know the world does not have a voice of rejoicing. The world has a voice of sorrow. The world has a voice of doom. The world's voice is not the voice you want to be listening to. Because if you listen to the voice of the world long enough, you'll begin to sound like the world. And what the world does to cause them or to try to make them happy is they go to substitutes. They'll go to the bottle. They'll go to a pill. They'll go to illicit sexual relations. And as they go to the bottle, how many of you know, they maybe get high for a night, but the next morning ain't so good. But you know what? You and I have got the new wine. We got the new wine. And we do not have to be drunk with the wine of this world. But we can be filled and overflowing with the Spirit of God every day of our lives. You know, Jesus said, he that is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. You can come to the Lord and you can drink in of his presence every day. You can have a life full of thanksgiving, a life full of praise, a life filled with song. And that's where you become filled with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. Amen. Psalm 18, as we're building this foundation, verses 8:21 through 24. He said, I will praise you, for thou hast heard me, and you are become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. He didn't say we will be bummed out and be sad in it, but we will rejoice and be glad in it. Woo, glory to God. Notice, we will. So rejoicing is a choice. You got to choose to rejoice every day of your life. So what kind of day is Psalm 118 talking about? Well, it's very interesting because I look back at verse 14 and David is celebrating a victory that the Lord gave him. He said, the Lord is my strength and song and has become my salvation. And then in verse 24, he says, this is the day that the Lord has made. He's not pointing to a Monday or a Tuesday or a Wednesday. He's talking about the day of deliverance. He's talking about the day of freedom. He's talking about the day of salvation. Amen. I remember Brother Hagin taught about that way back in the 70s in camp meeting. And it was quite enlightening to me because I used to think, well, Monday's the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Well, that's fine and that's good and we should. But we're talking about a day. We're talking about a day of healing. We're talking about a day of abundance. We're talking about the day, praise God, that the Lord has made for you and I to walk in his way. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Shout it with me. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice. And I will be glad in the God of my salvation. Now notice, as we build this foundation this morning, Psalm 89, verses 15 through 17. He said, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. So we see here that salvation produces a sound. Verse 16, it says, in thy name they shall rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness they shall be exalted. Verse 17, read it with me. Ready, read. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. Beautiful verses of scripture. Now, I like how the Passion breaks it down, so let me read that to you. In verse 15, it said, Oh Lord, how blessed are the people who know the triumphant shout. The triumphant shout. For they shall walk in the radiance of your presence. Now notice this with me. The presence of God is connected to that joyful sound. Mr. Young says it this way, oh, the happiness of the people knowing the shout. Now, this is not just a noise. This is not just working people up. This is a covenant shout. This is a people that do know their God. This is a people that do know their covenant-keeping God. And as a result, they get so happy, they just start shouting. It's a triumphant shout. You know, after all, the Bible says, now thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. Amen. Verse 16, it says, we can do nothing but leap for joy all day long. For we know who we are and what you do, and you exalted us on high. Verse 17, read that with me. The glory of your splendor is our strength, and your marvelous favor makes us even stronger, lifting us even higher. Amen. So if you do a study in the Word of God, you are going to see rejoicing all over the place. You're going to see it in the book of Psalms. You're going to see it from A to Z. Now, for example, Psalms 113 verse 5 says, but I have trusted in thy mercy, and my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Amen. Psalm 20 verse 5, we will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. I sent that scripture to Keith Hershey last night. Because a year ago, he was talking about, his theme was, banner up. And a banner stands for victory. Amen? So we're going to set up our banners at Heart of the Bay, right? Amen? His banner over us is love. His banner over us is joy. Psalm 21 verse 1 says, the king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. Psalm 35 verse 9, it says, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord, it shall rejoice in his salvation. And then Paul, writing to the church of Philippi, said this, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Now, that's a lot of rejoicing. I said, that's a lot of rejoicing. And why is that? Because salvation is not a one-time event. Salvation initially came into our lives when we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But as we walk with Him, we see salvation in every area of our lives. We see His healing. We see His abundance. We see His joy. See, salvation is ongoing. It's something that you can experience every day of your life. And the more you rejoice in your salvation, the more salvation you will experience. See, God has not called us to be sad. He's called us to be glad. And you will never go from sadness to gladness until you rejoice. And you will never rejoice until you know what you're rejoicing about. Amen. I mean, it's great to get worked up in a crowd, woohoo, and shout and everything and dance and run. And I believe in all that. But at the end of the day, tomorrow morning's coming. Monday morning's coming. You got to know who and what you're rejoicing about. And as you look into the perfect law of liberty, you will see all of the benefits of your salvation. The psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. See, the psalmist is blessing him. What David is doing in Psalm 103, he's rejoicing in the God of his deliverance. And then he began to list all of the benefits that belong to him as a result of being saved. He forgives. He heals. He redeems. He crowns. He surrounds. He renews your youth just like the eagles. Glory to God. That's something to get excited about. But if you don't know what you're rejoicing about, your rejoicing will fizzle out. That's why we need to make sure that we spend a lot of time in the Word of God and fill up with the Scriptures that tell us who we are, what we have, and where we are in Christ Jesus. When you identify with Jesus, it'll cause you to be happy and it'll cause you to be rejoiced. Amen. And how many of you know sometimes you just got to rejoice by faith?
Yep, that's right. Come on.
Because it's not every morning you want to do like Smith Wigglesworth did. Lester Sumrall said, what do you do first thing in the morning? He said, first thing in the morning, I get up and I dance fast before the Lord for 10 to 12 minutes. Wow. Okay, well, how many of you did that this morning? Well, you may not be able to rejoice for 10 to 12 minutes speed on speed high, but you can lift up your hand in the morning and you can say, yada. You can say, thank you, Lord, for another day. You can say, oh, Father, I worship you this morning. I lift up my holy hands without wrath or doubting. It's another day to serve you. It's another day to breathe in of the presence of the Lord. Amen. But you got to know what you're rejoicing about. You got to know what your salvation includes. And when you know that, you can rejoice. So the question ends then is, what am I rejoicing about in this glorious salvation? Can you rejoice that you're saved?
Yes.
Can you rejoice that you are not going to go to hell?
Yes.
That's something to be happy about.
Yes.
He saved you. I thank God he saved me. Because if he didn't save me, I'd been in hell for decades and decades. Can you shout because you're saved?
Yes.
Can you shout because you had something to eat this morning? Somebody says, yeah, but Pastor, I'm fasting. I'm fasting. Well, I'm not talking to you. Your salvation includes deliverance. Deliverance. How many of you can be honest with me this morning and say you have been delivered from something by the Lord during your Christian walk?
Amen.
Amen. Your salvation includes deliverance. It includes healing. Here's another thing your salvation includes. It includes him sustaining you. It includes him keeping you. I thank God for his sustaining power. I mean, the other day I was walking in my house and I had some different slippers on. I was cleaning up my other slippers and I had some different slippers on. And we have in our going from the bathroom downstairs into the living room and family room, there's a step. And I stepped down and I slipped. But you know what? The Lord sustained me. The Lord kept me. He'll keep you from falling. He'll not only keep you from falling physically, but he will keep you from falling spiritually. He will keep you from falling away from him. So your salvation includes his sustaining power. Glory to God. Last time I had a drink, last time I did drugs was December 18th, 1974. And somebody says, how can you stay sober for over 50 years? Because of him. Because of his sustaining power. And how can you stay delivered from what he's delivered you from? You can stay delivered from what he's delivered you from by standing fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So what does salvation include? It includes his sustaining power.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Did you know this? That he will sustain your physical blood pump?
Yes.
He will sustain your heart.
Yes.
Well, maybe you came from a family that had a series of heart attacks. And genetically, it doesn't look good for you. But we do not look at things after our genetics. We look at things after our blood covenant.
Yes.
And what our blood covenant says, by his stripes, we were healed.
Yes.
And if we were healed, we are healed. And if we are healed, we is healed.
Yes.
It's the truth. He was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him.
Yes.
And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed.
Yes.
And we are made whole.
Hallelujah.
So what I'm saying is, don't buy into the lie that you're next. You know, mom had it, dad had it, grandpa had it, great grandpa had it. Don't buy into that lie. You're in a new family. You have a new covenant. Hey, come on, somebody. He's given you a new heart spiritually. And that new heart spiritually, if it's fed and attended right and cultivated and lifted up, it will affect your blood pump. Now, that's for somebody today. I don't know who it is, but say with me, thank God I have a strong heart. Salvation includes so, so much. He's redeemed you. He's rescued you. Now, if you're a believer, you have a lot to rejoice about.
Yes, we do.
And I'm persuaded that God's people don't rejoice enough.
That's true.
And I'm not just talking about in this house where it's easy to rejoice. Folks, if you can't rejoice during that worship set, I'm telling you what, the pump's gone dry. The well's gone dry. It's easy to rejoice in this house. But we need to take what we've got in this house and we need to bring it to our house and rejoice in the Lord always. Amen. Well, a lot of people say, well, Pastor Mark, I don't have anything to rejoice about. Are you kidding me? That's a lie. And it's a result of listening to lies. Now notice with me a verse of scripture that I discovered the other day. It's found in Ezekiel chapter 13 and verse 22. And here we see that God is rebuking the false prophets because they made the righteous sad. The false prophets didn't have a good word for them. You know, a person that is a false prophet is not speaking from the Lord. They're speaking from another place. Now notice with me in Ezekiel 13:22, it says, because with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad. God says, it's never my will for my righteous ones to be sad. It is my will for my righteous ones to be glad. And you've strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked way by promising him life. You've been made the righteousness of God in Christ to be glad. Now listen very carefully. You will be sad if you believe lies. But you will be glad if you believe the truth. Here's what Jesus said, and you shall know the truth. And what will the truth do? The truth will set you free, make you free, and keep you free. Now, has anyone in this house this morning ever had a lie come to their mind? And the result of believing lies, oftentimes what comes next is they begin to talk about what they don't have. And talk about what they can't do. And how about this? And talk about what has not happened yet. I know I'm preaching good right now. But if you will talk about what you do have. Here's what will happen. God will increase the awareness of it in your life. In other words, it will expand, it will grow. Amen? Now, if you talk about what you do know, He will increase your understanding. He will. You see, there's a verse of Scripture in Psalms 36, verse 9 says, "For with thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light we see light." Say with me, in the light of God's Word. When the Word of God enters into my spirit, there is light. Say it with me, the entrance of thy Word, it gives me light. So when light comes into your heart, you begin to see things you haven't seen before. And then the next step up from that is you'll begin to see things that you now see, but you see even more clearly.
Amen, Pastor. Yeah.
You'll see with clarity. God will give you more light. Do you need more light in your life?
Amen.
I'm not talking about lights here. I'm talking about the light of life. I'm talking about giving you light as a parent to know how to bring your children up in this crazy world. I'm talking about Him giving you light for your career. Some of you here this morning, and you're in a career that you don't like. Well, if you are in a career that you don't like, you need to pray so that God can turn on the lights. And so that you can see clearly what He has for you during this season of your life. When God gives you light, amen, He gives you understanding. You know, in the book of Colossians, Paul prayed for the church of Colossae, and he said, "I pray that you be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual understanding." Amen. So spiritual understanding comes from the lights going on. And that's why we pray on a regular basis that the eyes of our understanding would be what? Flooded with light. Amen. He is your light. And the entrance of His Word will give you light. Say it with me real strong. The truth of God's Word
makes me free.
Now here's another valuable point. Our joy is not based on our circumstances.
That's right. Amen.
Habakkuk 3 says this, verse 17, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom," that's a problem, "neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail." That means no olive oil. "And the field shall yield no meat." That means no meat. "And the flock shall be cut off from the fold." The flock aren't getting together. "And there shall be no herd in the stalls." As a result of that, I'm going to go to bed. I'm going to put the covers over my head. And I'm going to wait till things get better. How many of you know things don't get better that way? Notice what the next words are. Yet. Yet. What will I do? I will rejoice. Yet I will rejoice. Even although these circumstances don't look good. And it doesn't look like it's getting better soon. Yet. Yet. Everyone say yet.
Yet.
What are you going to do? I will rejoice in the Lord. Now notice, I will joy in the God of my salvation. Glory to God. Glory to God. Some of you are going to hear that in the middle of the night. Lies coming to your mind. Pressure coming from everywhere. Yet. Some of you are going to just sit right up in bed. Yet. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Now, I'm trying to help you today. But you got to want to be helped. You cannot have a casual attitude when you're hearing a message like this, because this message will change your life. This, if it's acted upon, will change the very atmosphere of your soul. It will change the atmosphere of your home. It'll cause you to go from negative to positive. Amen. Everyone say, yet?
Yes.
I'm going to rejoice.
I'm going to rejoice
in the God of my salvation. Notice the language. Although, yet I will. Joy is a choice. Not when I feel it. Not when I see it. Even if this is going on, still I will rejoice. Now, I saw something in closing this morning, something that is very, very valuable and a big key for us to rejoice, especially if we haven't been rejoicing for a while. There's three words that I got as I was praying. Number one is repent. Number two is rejoice. And number three is reap. Everyone say, repent.
Repent.
Return.
Rejoice,
and then I will reap. See, the first step to rejoicing in many cases is people need to return to God with their whole heart.
Yeah, that's right.
And I believe that one of the biggest reasons people aren't rejoicing is because their heart is elsewhere. And you're going to see this over in Joel chapter 1. And you're going to see this over in Joel chapter 2. This is very, very good. So keep your ears on for a few minutes. Notice the context. In Joel 1, the prophet is describing a devastating plague that has destroyed all of Israel's crops. And it says in Joel chapter 1, verse 12, notice with me, the vine is dried up and the fig tree languisheth, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree. Even all the trees of the field are withered. And here's the reason. Because joy is withered away from the sons of men. In other words, why this was happening was not an agricultural issue. It was a spiritual issue. It was a spiritual condition. Their joy withered away. Which tells me at one time they had joy, but something happened in their lives to where they lost their joy and their joy was withered away. Some of you feel that way today. I understand. I get it. I've been there. So their joy was withered away. Their outside barrenness was a result of inside barrenness. There wasn't any fruit happening in their lives. Because their joy is withered away. But oh, thank God, it didn't stay that way. Look at your neighbor and say, it did not stay that way. And it does not have to stay that way. Are you still here? We laid the foundation just to get to this. Especially before we receive communion. Because communion is a point of contact. It's a celebration of the Lord's Supper. It's a celebration of what He's done for us and what He's provided for us. And I believe that during communion, there can be a restoration. And there can be a renewal of the joy of many of yours' salvation. To where what He's done for you on the inside shows up on the outside. And one of the ways that joy shows up on the outside is we smile. Come on, it's not going to hurt you. Everyone smile just a little bit. I know it's cloudy outside. I know it was sunny yesterday, but it's cloudy today. Well, how many of you know that does not make any difference? It's always sunny on the inside. We just bask in his presence and we can get a sun, S-O-N, tan. Come on, somebody. Come on, let's practice this just for a moment. Everyone smile. Look at your neighbor and say, hi. Now listen to me very carefully. They had a turnaround. And you can have a turnaround. But it required them to return to God. And to return to God and to turn from and turn to is basically they repented. Now, you'll see this in Joel chapter 2, verses 12 to 13, but the whole chapter of Joel chapter 2 points it out. I mean, they were calling solemn assemblies. The priests were weeping between the porch and the altar. I mean, there was some serious dedication going on. In verse 12 and 13, and read it with me if you would, ready, read. Turn ye even to me with all your heart and with fasting and with weeping and with mourning. Do you see that? Verse 13. And rend your heart and not your garments and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Wow. Do you see something needed to happen for the crops to yield fruit? I think something needs to happen in our lives for us to flourish in the courts of our God. We cannot live in the last of the last days haphazardly. We cannot live with one foot in the Word and one foot in the world. My Bible says that we are to come out from among them and be separate. Yes. That we are not to be unequally yoked with this godless world. Amen. Somebody says, you sound like a holiness preacher. You better believe it. I'm a holiness preacher. And if you're not a holiness preacher, you better get holy so you can be one. But holiness has little to do with your hair. Holiness has little to do with what you wear. Hey, that rhymes. Come on, somebody. We're in a flow now. Woo! Woo! Prophetic utterances coming forth. It has nothing to do with whether you wear a ring or not. Keith Moore says, holiness is Christ-likeness. It's being like the Master. And it is enough for the disciple to be as his master.
Amen.
They had to repent. They had to return. I'm not saying you need to repent, but you might need to. You might need to turn away from some of that stuff. They repented and then they returned. Now notice, look at what the response was from God. Look what God did. How many of you know he's merciful? I said he's merciful. And he's so compassionate. Glory to God. When you repent, the Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He said, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your transgressions from you. He doesn't remember them anymore. So notice his response. Are you ready to shout today? He said in verse 21 of Joel chapter 2, fear not. In other words, here's my response. Hey, don't be afraid.
Amen.
It's time now for you to be glad. And do some rejoicing. Why is that? For the Lord will do great things. But notice what comes first. Be glad and rejoice. Return, rejoice, and the Lord will do great things. Woo! Glory to God. Verse 22, be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, and the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. What's happening here? Can someone tell me? Provision's happening. Provision is taking place. Verse 22, read it with me. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately, and he will come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Tell me what's happening. It's starting to rain again. Provision's taking place. God is attending their way with the rains of the Spirit. Ooh, verse 24. I think we're getting it now. Verse 24, read it with me. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. There was a season where there was no overflow. But when God said, be glad and rejoice, I'm going to do great things. And one of the great things I'm going to do is I'm going to take you from a little to a lot. I'm going to take you into the overflow blessing. Amen. He's not done yet. Verse 25, and I will restore to you. How many of you know there's restoration when we repent? There's restoration when we rejoice. There's restoration when we lift up our voice and declare the goodness of God. He said, I'm going to restore. Let me ask you today, is there anybody in the house that could use a little restoration? A little restoration in your soul. A little restoration in your knees. A little restoration in your hips. A little restoration in your pocketbook. A little restoration in your relationship. God is the restorer. And he's looking for a people that will be honest enough to return to him and then just start rejoicing in the Lord their God. Woo! Jumping for joy. And I will restore to you.
Yeah.
Point to yourself and say, he will.
He will.
He is restoring.
He is restoring.
He's restoring to me.
He's restoring me.
Now notice that the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I have sent among you, what God is saying, I'm going to cause overflow, I'm going to cause provision, and I'm going to bring restoration into your country. I'm bringing restoration into your family. Whew. That which is broken can be restored. That which has not been whole can be made whole once again. Hallelujah. The psalmist said, he restores my soul. He restored my soul back in the late 70s. I mean, I was on my way out physically and mentally. I was already there. But God took his word and took his spirit and brought restoration to my soul. Now I have straight thoughts. Now I don't think the lies of the enemy. Now I think and speak the goodness of God. He restores your soul. He restores your soul. I said he restores your soul. He can take grief out of your soul. He can take grief out of your soul. And he can restore your soul. Surely there's a time of mourning. Surely there's a time of crying. Surely there's a time of grief. But we don't grieve like the world grieves. Because our hope is way beyond this world. Our hope is in God. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to restore. And he said in verse 26, did you get ready for this one? And you shall eat in plenty. That's better than hometown buffet. Amen. You're going to eat in plenty. And not only that, but you're going to be happy about it. You're going to be satisfied. And praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. That's satisfaction. The Rolling Stones were wrong. They said, I can't get no satisfaction. That's true in the world, but it's not true in the Word. He satisfies the longing soul. Glory to God. Some of you don't even know who the Rolling Stones are. Probably a good thing. So provision, rain, overflow, restoration, and satisfaction. Now listen very carefully. Breakthrough came when they repented. Breakthrough came when they rejoiced. Listen, when they stopped being sad and starting being glad is when the breakthrough came. It's when turnaround happened. And the same thing can happen with me. And the same thing can happen with you. Three R's. Return. Amen. Two, rejoice. And three, reap. Did they reap? Stand up, everybody. That's it for today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless. Just go ahead and pray a little bit. Glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord our God, who has dealt wondrously with us. Blessed be the name of the Lord our God, who doeth valiantly. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Put your hand over your heart. Pray this with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I purpose in my heart to return to you with every part of my being, in my heart, in my mind, and in my body. I present my body unto you. I present my life unto you as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Master, which is my reasonable service. I return to you with all of my heart. And by faith, for about 15 or 20 seconds, I'm going to rejoice. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.